And now, entering the studio, he hails from the Berg. Sometimes he starts in left field, goes right, and ends up in center. He is who he is, which is why he wants to know what you're waiting for. Brought to you in part by the Next Level Broadcast Media Group. Remember, you can always listen on your phone by dialing 323-693-3313. Strap in and get ready for the ride of your life with this segment of What You Waiting For Wednesday with EB.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Wednesdays, What You Waiting For Wednesdays with EB. I am your host, EB, and we are pleasingly and pleasantly proud that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule this Wednesday night to join me, your boy, on What You Waiting For Wednesdays with EB. Hope everybody is having a great hump day. Been off for a few weeks, been doing some class work on Wednesdays, but that has finished, and I'm back on the air with you on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., so we're appreciative that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join us on What You Waiting For Wednesdays with EB. I do see a lot of folks in my queue tonight. If you want to join me and have some roundtable discussion as we go through our topic this evening, make sure that you press 1, and as you have dialed in, that will allow you to get in the queue, and I can see that you're in the queue with me, and I'll recognize you when we come upon that time. But just want to make sure that, as always, I recognize some of my co-hosts that are part of the Next Level Broadcast Media Group. Make sure that you check out on Sunday nights, Miss Gina, at 7:30. Make sure you check out Coach on Mondays at 8:30. Make sure you check out Coach and Gina on Tuesdays at 8:30 as well. All brought to you by the Next Level Broadcast Media Group. Hope everybody is doing well tonight and having a great time. And like I said, we're just going to chop it up tonight. Tonight's segment, we're going to talk about dad. And, you know, I'm a dad. I'm a dad of a 16-year-old. Also a dad of a 12-year-old, and don't want to wait till Father's Day to get into this topic. You know, Father's Day comes around June, but we're going to chop it up a few months early, and we're going to talk about parenting tonight. And I think one of the things that's very interesting, you see all the super moms get recognized. You know, super mom gets recognized because she can wash clothes, and she can cook dinner, and she can get the kids taken care of all at the same time, make sure that they get to soccer or basketball practice or football practice or the games. And, you know, it's always in society that we recognize super moms, and very interesting that nobody says anything about super dads. And, you know, not that we have to go around with an S on our chest, we don't need it, but a lot of times I hear a lot of mothers say that they wish that the dad was more involved. And I also kind of hear on the flip side that, you know, moms complain a lot about what the dads do or, you know, subsequently don't do. And I'll always tell people take the advantage to let dad do what he does the way that dad does it. And, you know, dads don't do things the way that moms do. And, you know, I always tell moms, you know, let loose the reins sometimes. You know, don't be that helicopter mom. If dad wants to go out and we have McDonald's tonight, you know, don't complain about it. Let him be dad. If dad wants to, you know, kind of give a bath the way that he gives a bath, let dad be dad. And I think some of the times I've seen a lot of moms put a lot of stress on themselves because they go back and always try to fix what dad has done. And so tonight we're just going to talk to some of my dads out there and kind of get their perspective on their parenting skills, what makes them, you know, kind of special as far as what they do, what they do. I'll give you my take, and, you know, I always tell you, you know, Chanel and I have been married going on 23 years, and I'll be 23 years this May. And having a 16-year-old, having a 12-year-old, my 16-year-old is in high school in the 10th grade. They start very early in the morning. Matter of fact, have to start his regimen about 6 o'clock in the morning. He catches the bus about 6:45. The youngest is in middle school right now. He doesn't go to school until about 9:30. So a little different as far as night and day. I wish I could flip the two of them, but because you can't, you have to deal with what you have to deal with. And I think my parenting style is pretty much, I know the routine Monday through Friday. We pretty much know the routine. You got to get up, got to go to school, certain things that you have to do. We don't necessarily have a particular bedtime right now. There is no curfew as far as bed is concerned. I mean, you're in middle school. You don't have to go to school until, you know, late in the morning. You know, my high schooler, he comes home from track practice. He takes a nap, and I don't know what he does sometimes during the middle of the night. But as long as he wakes up and gets up and goes to school, that's not a problem. But I think my parents' style kind of laissez-faire as far as just allowing them to be able to be themselves. Both of them know how to cook. As far as preparing their meals, but I prepare certain meals for them. I take care of the house when I need to take care of. I try to get their clothes ironed. So it's kind of a 50-50 relationship as far as my wife and I are concerned, as far as our parenting style. And I think one of the things that has always helped us out, I don't go behind her or she doesn't come behind me and fix what we're doing. I give you, for instance, if it's my night to cook, and let's say if I'm cooking on Monday night, and we want tacos, then I prepare the tacos how I see fit. You know, if they don't want tacos and we want to eat meat and chips, then we do it like that. So it's one of those things. She doesn't come behind me and correct me as far as being a dad is concerned. Now, I even go back to when the boys were a little bit younger. My mother helped me as far as my oldest is concerned. She stayed with me for a little while. And, you know, one of the things, kind of had a little issue one night. My oldest, Brandon, he wanted to eat some Fruit Loops for dinner. I really didn't see a problem with that. So, you know, if you don't stop crying because I feed you Fruit Loops for dinner, the hell with it. You're going to eat Fruit Loops for dinner. And that was a choice that I made as far as parenting. And I think one of the things that I consider myself a pretty solid dad, can pretty match up against any mom out there as far as toe-to-toe, taking care of the house and cleaning the house and preparing meals and making sure the boys are straight. But I think a lot of times dads don't get recognized as far as some of the skills because some of the moms don't want to let go of the reins as far as the responsibilities are concerned. And then they come back and say, well, you know, the dad isn't active or he doesn't do this. And I'll always say, give him a chance, you know, walk out of the house. Don't go behind him and remix everything that he's done. It's interesting. We have friends that, you know, live in a dual parent household. And it's almost like the mom has to get a permission slip to leave because she doesn't want to leave the kids home alone with dad. Like, she doesn't want to go out of town and take a vacation because dad's there. I'm like, you know, let him be dad. I mean, the worst that he can do, he's not going to kill the children. Okay, if they eat cereal all weekend or they eat waffles all weekend, at least they've eaten. I mean, I'm sure he's going to make sure that they get a bath. I mean, if you have to go behind him and lay out everything that you want them to wear for the weekend, then go ahead and do that. But sometimes you have to ease up as far as that's concerned. So tonight, I just want to go to a couple of my callers that have logged in tonight. I see some folks queue, so we'll recognize some folks. Let me go and unmute my first caller. How you doing tonight, caller? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on, Rick? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Thanks for the heads up.
Hey, not a problem, man, not a problem. Hey, I know you're a pretty active dad, a solid dude. I see all of the posts, and I know you got a lot of things going on as far as your kids' lives are concerned. How old are your kids right now, Rick?
Raymond is 11 and is 10.
Okay, so you got an 11-year-old and a 10-year-old. Oldest is a boy, youngest is a girl. If I were to match you up head-to-head, against a mom, you think you're pretty solid as far as your parenting skills are concerned?
Oh, I think my parenting skills are awesome. It's just that I am honest enough with myself to understand that with my daughter, I can't teach her how to be a woman, so I'm going to need the mom for that. And we, you know, she understands that she can't teach my son how to be a man. So, you know, we understand that. And, you know, I'm not doing anything new. I'm not doing anything. I'm doing exactly what my parents did for me. I'm very involved in my kids' life. I cook for them. They don't eat. If they try to eat that French toast too many days in a row, I cut it out because I'm like, no, that's too much bread. You know. And we talk. As a matter of fact, they're in the car right now with me. We just left baseball practice, and they were amped to hear this, and they're listening to it, and they're loving it. Y'all can say hello real quick.
Hi.
Hey, kids. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? Appreciate it. Raymond and Ann. Raymond, when you become an MLB star, make sure you hook on the EB up with some tickets. I just throw that plug out there for you real quick.
I'll say this much. My kids, even on Sunday mornings, they make sure they say, "Daddy, we're going to church, right?" You know, and that's the biggest thrill to me, that my children are asking me to go to church. You know what I mean? I just try to do what I can, because I agree with what Charles Barkley said years ago. The role model's in your house, and I want to be a role model to my kids.
And I know you're doing a great job, man. I appreciate the little prayer that you sent out as far as the scripture on every day of the week. So I appreciate that. Sometimes you wake me up, but that's all good. let me ask you this: you saw parenting from your parents. So you saw your parents and kind of the indelible effect that they put as far as your life was concerned, and now you're mimicking as far as your children are concerned. Do you think that played a huge factor as far as what you're able to do? Do you see some of your friends that may not have come from a home that had the solidified mother and father in the household, that may have had just a single parent household? Do you think that they don't have that same skill set, or how has that been able to kind of transition to what you do on a daily basis?
I can't say from the single – well, you know, even though I'm divorced, but I will say this. My parents, from the time I was old enough to do stuff, I never had to worry about looking out in the crowd and not seeing my mom and dad. I mean, from the age of six all the way – until I went to college out of state. My parents even came to high school when I dressed up for the Powder Puff cheerleading to support me for Powder Puff cheerleading. And they were always in the stands. And I saw kids growing up whose parents were never at the sporting events or never at the recitals or never at this. And I remember seeing those kids, the look on those kids' faces. And I've just vowed that I would never do that, because it's huge. You know, it's huge. I have to tell my son now, don't play baseball for me. I mean, I love that you're playing, but I could care less if you play, if you guys understand what I'm saying. Daddy's career is over. You do it for you. Make sure you're happy. You know, so I everything I do is about them, man. You know, if it ain't about them, then I don't do it.
Good deal, good deal. Good talk as far as that's concerned. I'm going to come back to you in a minute, so hang tight with me, all right? And you know, thanks, Rick, for giving me those comments. And I think one of the things that you have to understand that, you know, dads are a little different. And, you know, there's always a book out there, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And, you know, you read the book and you understand that, you know, we're just different individuals. And dads are more so sometimes of the fun-loving, with the disciplinarian when we need to be. But a lot of things that we do are very loose. And I think, you know, coming up from a standpoint, and, you know, I lost my father when I was 15, but he was very instrumental in my life. My brother, who's also on the call tonight, we'll get to him in a little bit as well. Just kind of saw everything that he did and really tried to mimic what he was doing as far as growing up. And I think sometimes, and Rick stated this, role models don't necessarily come from outside of the house. And I think mentors, as far as men are concerned, we have mentors that we look up to, men in the community, men in a church responsibility. You may have men that may be teachers or administrators. You may have men that are in the community as far as activists that really play an integral part inside of a child's lives. But I think most of the times what young men see that is very impressionable has to come from inside of the household. And a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with, I hate to make it a black-white thing, but when you deal in the African-American community, you look right now, a lot of the houses are divided. You have a lot of houses where there is no male role model as far as the male in the household within a lot of the African-American communities. I think one of the statistics I saw a little bit earlier says over 60% of African-American households don't really have a male figure inside of the home. So if you're dealing with a 6 out of 10 ratio that says I don't even have an impressionable person to follow if I am a male, or even if I'm a female, as far as being able to know what dads are supposed to be like, then that's almost kind of a D, you know, 60% inside of a school environment, pretty much is a DF already inside of the household. So when you look at it from a dad's perspective, I think dads do a wonderful job. And for my moms that are listening in on the call tonight, that may be listening in to our recorded calls a little bit later on, if you have a dad that is active in your child's life, allow them just to be able to be that dad. And maybe they don't know everything that they're supposed to do because maybe they came from a situation where they did not have a father figure to teach them and instruct them. And a lot of times they need to be able to make the mistakes on their own. And like I said, if you're married, your baby dad is not going to kill the children. I mean, he may, like Rick said, he may feed you the wrong thing every now and then, and, you know, you kind of self-correct that. But other than that, they're not going to do anything egregious as far as parenting is concerned. So kind of save yourself some heartburn and some headache as far as that's concerned if you're one of the mothers that is listening on the call, and really just allow someone to be able to have the opportunity as far as that's concerned. I'm going to go to my next caller. I just unmuted you, so let me know who you are, where you're calling in from. Hello?
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 Hello? Yeah. This is Mike Irvin speaking.
Mike Irvin, what's going on, man? How you doing up in the ATL?
How you doing, EB?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for calling in tonight. You a father? How old is your son?
I have a 19-year-old at sophomore at Georgia Tech, and an 8-year-old. So
sounds good.
Both boys
or boy and a girl?
Both boys. I was listening to what the brother was saying earlier, and I can really appreciate that coming from, you know, both my mom and dad raised me to be the best man that I can be. I'm a divorced father, so. It's kind of challenging because my youngest son lives in New Jersey, and I'm here in ATL. Luckily, I have my oldest boy here in Atlanta with me, so we have that time that we can actually spend together. But the time that I'm actually missing with my youngest son, you know, it kind of hurts both of us. Thank God that we do have technology now where you can actually – FaceTime and, you know, have those particular moments, but it's not the same as actually being in the same city, same state, or same household. You know, missing football games or missing baseball games, you know, those are pivotal times right there that we can never, ever get back. But we try to make the best of the situation. So, you know, my ex-wife and I, we've worked out where, you know, I don't miss birthdays, first day of school, summertime, you know, we get to spend that quality time with each other. But in reference to parenting style, there's a vast difference between the way that she parents and the way that I parent. My dad was a disciplinarian from, you know, the Deep South, and he was the man of the family. And we respected that, and I understand that particular dynamic. Not saying that he was running around, you know, ruling with the iron fist, but we knew who that man, that patriarch is, or who was running that particular household, be it from a financial perspective or be it from just a sheer disciplinarian perspective. He was that guy where he didn't have to put his hand on you, but you understood that when he told you to do something or my mother told me to do something, that it got done. And my parenting style is a little bit, it's a tad bit looser, where when you're not in the household on an everyday basis, you know, you kind of lean back a little bit to give them a little bit of leeway, but you still try to be as stern as possible to assure that the child respects you in that particular manner. So for me, it's just kind of molding and morphing things in together to be the best parent that I can be, and being on the same page with this mother so we're not fighting against each other or battling against each other. But if she says something, that I back her up, and when I say something, she backs me up, and especially don't have that type of disagreement in front of the child. You know, if there's something that's happening, we take that offline and we'll share that between us as two consenting adults. But we need to be on the same page and back each other up.
And that's good to say that, Mike. And I think one of the things you said is very paramount, especially when you're dealing in relationships where, you know, you may be splitting time as far as a child's life is concerned. You said, you know, she doesn't disrespect you in front of your son or vice versa. And that's really, you know, kind of key, because one of the things that I will ask you, when you have your son, does she give you instructions as far as parenting, or does she just let you be dad? And I give you for instance, when it's your time to spend with him, let's say he comes to visit you for the summer, is it instructional as far as, hey Mike, you know, he needs to do this or this and this, or does she just let you have free reign as far as you being dad, knowing everything is going to be taken care of? She doesn't tell you, you know, he can't get the temple fade, you know, he needs to get a high top fade, you know, things of this nature. I joke with it, but it's one of those things that I've seen some mothers almost send the father's instructions that say, hey, if it can't be done my way, then I'm going to maybe limit your access as far as the child is concerned. Does she give you anything like that, or does she just let you be dad because, you know, you're dad?
I have total free reign. There's no instructions, anything of that nature. She understands the type of man I am. She understands that I love my child wholeheartedly, and then I wouldn't do anything to harm him. And, you know, once we hug and kiss and, you know, he comes stay with me and she goes back to New Jersey, it's like, you know, I make sure that he I don't want to say checks in, but, you know, he calls his mother just to let her know that everything is okay. But she's not ringing my phone off the hook or texting him off the hook or anything of that nature. It's pretty much, this is your time with your dad. You guys have fun. When it's time for me to come pick you up, I'll be there to pick you up. So it's none of that, you know, she's trying to check and see what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, none of that. And I applaud her for that as well.
And that's good. And, you know, I never want to put, you know, anybody on the spot as far as that question is concerned. But it's one of the things, and I'll always listen when you have female friends and they say, you know, this, that, and the other. I'm like, you know, don't give him instructions. I mean, let him be a dad. And a lot of times, unless you came from a household that you were able to see, like Rick stated, he came from a two-parent household. You came from a two-parent household. Sometimes, unless you see what the example is like, it's a trial by error process. And a lot of times, from a nurturing standpoint, you know, women have that nurturing ability because God has given them the ability to carry a child for 9 months. So you'll always see, you know, when you're on the sideline, you know, you never really see that, you know, shout out to dad. You know, it's always interesting, you know, I play tongue in cheek that the football players will say, hey, mom, I'm like, okay, does dad not exist? And so a lot of times we especially in the African-American community, try to grow up with being the best dad that we can. And sometimes we don't know what that looks like because a lot of times we're playing from a broken record or we're playing from a broken set of standards, and we don't know what it looks like. So appreciate that, Mike. I'm gonna come back to you in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, as far as dads and parenting is concerned. And one of the things that is very interesting, I want to go through a few things that I did some research on as far as being able to kind of be a dad. What helps you to be a great dad? One of the things that I wrote down is don't worry. Fatherhood, like I said, is a trial by error. A lot of times we don't know what it's like. I mean, you have so many books that are written as far as the mother, the expectant parent. A lot of times they don't tell us what to deal with as far as the expectant father is concerned. And there are situations in life that we deal with that are in no books that are out there. How do you deal with when your son or daughter comes home and they've gotten into their first fight in school? That's not any book that's out there that's written. What do you do when they've come home and they've been bullied? What do you do when they come home and they want to talk to you about certain situations? So there are things that are applicable as far as certain books are concerned, but there are certain things that we all grew up and you may have learned it from the streets, that nowadays our kids who are growing up in suburban America may not have the opportunity to deal with. And I'll tell people all the time, my kids to this day are still naive as far as street smarts are concerned. I'm sure if I would unmute any of my males that are on the call, we had that street etiquette and we knew certain things. And it's just one of those things that we as dads really have to continue to vie and go out there. There is no dad scorecard. So stop, and for my dads on the call, stop holding yourself against a certain standard. You know, don't hold yourself against a standard of Rick or a standard against Mike. Hold yourself to the standard of you being the best dad there is. And a lot of that comes with a day-to-day operation. Like I said, there is no handbook as far as really that's concerned. I would also tell the dads, allow mom to be able to trust you. A lot of times that trust factor, if it hasn't been established, you have to establish that. Because if mom has given you the opportunity and taken the reins off and you failed, you know, one time or multiple times, then what happens is her trust now wanes because, okay, even though you're the dad and I know you're a responsible adult, quote unquote, I've asked you to do this so many times before and it's been a situation that makes my job much harder. Like I said, we are joyful people. We play around. Dads play around. We are the life of the party. But when it comes time to do what you're supposed to do as a dad, okay, if bedtime is at 8:30 and I call, I'm out with the girls and I'm having some wine and I call at 9:45 and y'all still up watching the game, okay, she's not going to give you that same leeway the next time because in her mind, her heart of hearts, you haven't done what I asked you to do. And it's something as simple as that, that not necessarily we have to have a scorecard as far as that's concerned, but you have to almost respect because they are the nurturers as far as that's concerned. As far as the meal preparation is concerned, you know what's best for your children. And we all try as hard as we can. Like you say, Rick is on the way home from basketball practice tonight, and a lot of times we try our hardest, but sometimes you're going to have to eat maybe the McDonald's or the Burger King or Wendy's. Be fair as far as that's concerned. When it's your time, don't make sure that they're always out there eating fast food and fast food. I mean, you may know that if you got basketball practice on Wednesday nights, you may have to throw a little something in the crock pot. Make sure that they eat when they get home. Maybe a little late, you might have to provide them with a snack, something like that. But, you know, provide that the opportunity. I'll always tell dads, learn to be affectionate with your child, especially when they get older. And this is something very difficult. I am a very affectionate person, my wife will tell you. One of the things that as men, and especially as black men, we don't hug enough. We don't say I love you. We don't, you know, allow our children to see us, you know, kind of touching them and making them feel loved. And it's just a basic human nature as far as love is concerned, because a lot of times I've seen fathers teach their children, especially their young boys, how to be hard. And we have such a hard society. You can go to jail, and everybody in jail is hard. It's always interesting. I go to jail a couple times during the year. You go to jail during Mother's Day. No cars are available because they sent all the cars out. You go to jail during Father's Day. They got cars everywhere. But it's one of those things from an affectionate standpoint that it starts very young as a child. And as your child gets a little bit older, sometimes they shy away from dad, you know, coming in to hug dad because, you know, you're 14, 15, 16. I got a 16-year-old right now. He's just not a hugger. I mean, it's not cool to hug dad, especially if you're in public. But your kids need to see you as far as an affectionate touch and letting them know you got their back. And you'd be surprised how much of an amazing power, transference of power, and what a message that can send to a child by just, you know, saying, you know, hey, I love you, you know, and really I got your back. Whatever you're dealing with, you know, come to me and we can sit down and talk about it. It may not be what you want to hear, but I'm going to tell you kind of the right way as far as that's concerned and just going from there. So learn to be affectionate. Also, I would tell you, treat your child like a child, like the way you were when you were a child. You look back and, you know, we were raised a little bit differently, and I'll always tell people as I deal with everything from my children to mentoring other children right now, I would not want to be a child, and you heard me say this many times before because there's too many distractions, there's too much going on. We used to just go outside and we stay till the streetlights come on. You know how to have fun, and you weren't distracted by Twitter and Snapchat and Periscope and all this and everything that's going on. And so it's very difficult. But allow your child to be a child. Allow them to be able to deal with situations that go on. Sit down and, you know, don't chastise them if they're having difficulty in certain areas. I'll always tell people it's amazing to see academic we celebrate academic success, and we look at the A's and B's when they come in. You know, a child has a C or a D, the first thing sometimes that we do is chastise the child as far as what's going on. Why are you getting the C or D? We never sit down and understand the sensitivity that may be involved, everything that's going on. And so we sometimes don't get inside of their world because we have so much that's going on in our lives. Many of us are working. We're active in the community and, you know, we're doing stuff inside the church. So a lot of times out of 168 hours a week, we're grinding and there's not a whole lot of time left over. And if you've never had a male role model in your life as far as a father figure, as far as sometimes to know what a dad looks like, and I'll be honest with everybody, I suffer from a traumatic event. So if you look at it and you know me, I lost my father at 15, when I was 15. So I lost my father the summer that I was transitioning from the 9th grade to the 10th grade. And I'll always tell people for many years I helped my father as far as dealing with his going to dialysis and his going to his appointments, and he had kind of a scooter that I would lift and put in the vehicle. My brother was playing, he was off in college or he was active in sports. And so a lot of times it was basically my responsibility as far as taking care of that because, you know, he was doing what he had to do. And so I never sometimes had an opportunity to be able to access some of the sporting events. And so right now, as my son is 16 years old and the youngest is 12, it's hard for me to wrap myself around certain things as far as being a dad is concerned. I would love to go outside and shoot hoops. I don't know how to play basketball, and I'm honest with everybody. I mean, you know, don't pick me for your team because I don't know how to play. I never had the opportunity to sit and learn and understand. So I almost have to outsource my 16-year-old as far as his skill level is concerned, you know, because he's at an awesome, he has an awesome ability to be able to play, but I can't teach him that. And so there are certain things that we're just dealing with right now from a parental standpoint that as a father I look back on, and not because I didn't have a role model, but because there was a gap that said, okay, at 15, I don't know what to do beyond this point. And so it's just a matter of if you never had a blueprint, what are you working off of? And so, you know, I look at others that have been in my life as far as my grandfather, my uncle, my brother as well. And so there are things that I learned from as far as that's concerned. A lot of us from a African-American standpoint, as far as males as well, we're hurting. There are certain things that are in our lives that we've never gotten over. We've never gotten counseling for. Myself, never gotten counseling for the trauma that I went through. I've met many of men that have been through different abuses, whether it's from a verbal standpoint, whether it's from a physical abusive standpoint. And there are a lot of men that have dealt with sexual abuse as far as that standpoint is concerned that have never gotten over that. And so when you're dealing with raising children, as far as a male standpoint, sometimes it's very difficult because we're almost contradictory as far as how we try to raise our kids, but then at the same time, we haven't really repaired ourselves. So you're trying to raise a fixed model from a broken blueprint, and it's very difficult as far as everything that is concerned. I'll always tell you as well as this is concerned, give of yourself. You can buy all the toys in the world. You can buy all the clothes in the world. You can buy all the shoes in the world. But sometimes 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes is really priceless as far as your child is concerned. And, you know, my two are very different individuals. You know, my youngest, he can go to the movies every day of the week, and he and I can sit in the movies. That's his quality time. He likes going to the movies. My oldest, you know, just sitting in his room listening to him as far as the radio is concerned. I think he's probably downloaded everybody's album or CD on my computer, but that's who he is, and he likes music. So you have to understand what makes them tick and as far as their world are concerned. And one of the things that they like to see you do is just be a man. And, you know, if you come home and all you do is come home and ask what's for dinner, and they don't see you actively involved, and you put your feet up on the couch and you don't wash any dishes around the house, and you don't iron any clothes, and, you know, all you're responsible for is bringing home the check and taking care of the household, I understand that. I get that, and as far as being a provider is concerned. But if they don't ever see you, how can they mimic something that they've never seen? And I think one of the great things that I'll speak on, you know, I always saw my father be responsible as far as he was active in the things that he needed to take care of as far as a man around his house. Both of my grandparents, both my grandfathers were very responsible. I mean, my grandfather on my mother's side, I saw him go to work. I mean, he walked to work almost every day, living up in Hot Springs, Virginia, a couple of miles, and he would walk to work every day, was a provider for his household. When he came home, he made sure that everything was tidied up, and even though we only spent summers there, it was one of those things that those 2.5-3 months that we spent inside of that environment, he really molded us as far as what a male should be and how a man is really supposed to take care of his priorities as far as all of that's concerned. So when you look at it, you know, for my females that are on the call tonight, if you're in a situation whereby dad may not be doing what you want him to do, watch how you speak to him. Because as men, sometimes we don't like to be spoken at. We don't like to be spoken to. If you have a situation whereby dad may not be doing what you would like him to do, sit down and, like Mike stated, have a conversation outside of the realm of the individual as far as the child is concerned, whereas especially when you see a child from a derogatory manner. I've seen and heard a lot of women talk down to the male in the relationship. And so what that does as far as the indelible effect that has on a child, you really have no idea what that does, because now almost the child looks at it that they don't have any respect for the father because the mother doesn't have any respect for the father. But that's a whole nother topic that we'll kind of jump into a little bit later on. Kind of going to go back to Rick. Rick, I know you're driving, so won't hold you up too much. But when you look at it, what's one nugget of advice if you were to be able to leave with a brand new dad that says, hey, here's what you need to do as far as parenting is concerned from a dad's perspective because your kids are watching you. What's kind of some of the nuggets you throw out there for me?
Well, I want to back up and say what you just said earlier, because I've always said that all the time. How do you spell love to your kids? T-I-M-E. Time. Like the brother in Atlanta, I'm a single dad, divorced dad, but luckily we're both here in Florida. We have 50-50 custody, man. I would tell people to do what you said, be affectionate. When my kids get up with me in the morning, I hug my son, I kiss my daughter. On days they're not with me, they call me in the morning, say good morning, we talk at night. Whenever we get off the phone and whenever they leave in the morning, I drop off to school, we have a little saying that I say to each of them. I say, who's the best? They say me. I say, who's the smartest? They say me. I say, who's the best in school? They say me. And I say, who does God love? And they say me. And then when my kids go to sleep, I whisper it in their head every night. You the best. You can do what you want to do. Don't let nobody stop you. I tell them that all the time, man. I want them to, nothing can stop them but them. You know, and so I always tell new dads, have fun with them, but be there for them. And never be too busy. Never be too busy for your kids. Because you're raising them now, and if you live long enough, they're going to be taking care of you later. So you have to remember that.
Definitely, man. Definitely as far as that, man. Good advice.
So
and like I said, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I appreciate it. No, because like I said, we're about to walk in the house, and like you said, we just got done with baseball practice. And they ate before they left, but these things are like, you know, bottomless pits. So
I understand that. I understand that, bro. I understand the grocery bill, man. Hey, appreciate it, man. Tell the kids, love them, man. Keep doing what you do, man. Thanks a lot, Rick. And you know, one of the things, you know, that I want to leave everybody with on the call, Mike, I'm going to reach out to you real quick. If anybody else wants to jump on with me tonight, you still see some more folks in the queue. You can press 1 as far as if you want to get on the call with me before we end in the next few minutes. But one of the things I want to leave everybody with tonight, there is no perfect dad. There is no perfect mom. And I think one of the things that we as society fail with a lot is that we judge ourselves against a standard that there really is no standard to be judged against. And, you know, you have to be your own solid dude as far as dads are concerned. I think one of the things that I garner with as far as respect from a parenting standpoint in our household is that I am the patriarch as far as the household, as far as spiritual guidance is concerned. You know, my wife does a great job as far as being able to pray over the household. But one of the things that is interesting and I always see a lot of times, especially having been raised in the church, is that there are not a lot of black males in the church. And, you know, you see so many black females that continue to go to church nowadays, and you see the waning as far as the African-American male is concerned. So what happens is sometimes our priorities are such that we may put something in front of, you know, going to church. And I've always told the boys, I love for them to be able to have the opportunity to play AAU basketball or AAU volleyball. But if there ever comes a situation whereby you're spending more time on the court as opposed to spending time in church on Sunday, we're going to have to shut it down for a little bit. And not because, you know, I don't want you to excel as far as academics are concerned, but I mean, sports are concerned and athletics. But when athletics are done, what do you have a foundation on? And if I've never taught you the foundation as far as Christ and being able to read the word and being able to understand the word and being able to discern the word, and you've never seen me do that, then as you grow older, it's going to be a broken map or broken puzzle. Pieces of the puzzle are going to be missing as far as that's concerned. So that's just one of the things that I pride myself upon as far as being able to have here in the household with the boys. Mike, I'm going to go back to you real quick. What's kind of one of the things, if you were to kind of leave to a dad that may be struggling, or maybe a new dad, or maybe a divorced dad that may be looking for some advice as far as skill set and parenting, what's a nugget that you'd leave with him?
Sure. First thing I would say is to love your children unconditionally. That's the first thing. And the second piece would be, especially if you divorced, separated, whatever the case may be, never allow a situation where if there's a disagreement between the parents, that actually upsets the flow with the child, where you totally are just turned off, where you don't want to be involved in that child's life. Regardless of what the situation is between the two parents, it should never affect your relationship with the child. And I think that's a huge nugget right there, because what happens a lot is it seems as women have the power, be it through the court or whatever it may be, and sometimes we get left out of the equation. But that should have no bearing upon how you actually deal with your child and love your child. And that's one thing I would definitely share to some of the younger brothers.
On the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls
will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day, this will be the day when all of God will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and mole hill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."